Hey everybody, you're listening to the Savvy Shutterbug Podcast. I'm Jillian Mansfeld. Here at the show, you can find out about how to become a professional photographer, get educated about photography-related topics, learn some fun ideas for your business, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the skills that you need in order to work with people to take great portraits. Taking great portraits is as much about people skills as it is about technical ability or using the latest and greatest photography equipment. Sure, refining your technical skills and knowledge may expand the extent of your capabilities, and using superior equipment may indeed boost your edge, but unless you can see first through the subject's eyes and understand her as a unique individual, and then build a rapport with her so you can unveil and accentuate her finest qualities, your portraits will remain mediocre at best. Some lessons learned along my journey as a photographer may help those who choose to follow them. So let's dive in. If you use a tripod, compose your portrait and then take one step just to the side and forward from the camera. Don't look through the viewfinder as you capture your subject's image. This allows you to make eye contact initially with your subject and then direct her mood and expression, position, and the angle of the gaze you're aiming for. When your subjects interact with your camera, the result can be cold and lifeless. But when you engage your subject through eye contact or expressions, gestures, and words, maybe even jokes to get a smile, the result can be a warm and candid reflection, charged with mood and emotion. If you're not using a tripod, you should really redouble your effort to maintain constant interaction with your subject. Many photographers tend to keep their eyes in the viewfinder of the camera, but this leads your subject interacting more with the front of the glass of your lens or the camera than with you. Again, you don't want the sterile and lifeless rendering that most often comes with camera, which serves to isolate you as a photographer from your subject. I know a lot of photographers tend to use the camera as a shield, so to speak, or a way to distance themselves from the subject that they're photographing. But this can turn into a distraction almost for the subject when the subject never actually sees your eyes or sees, like, if you're trying to get a smile and you're smiling behind the camera to have the subject reflect that smile, they're not going to see it because you're hiding behind the camera. Interaction with an inanimate object, such as your camera, can never be a substitute for interaction with another human being, which in this case would be you as the photographer. When your goal is to capture the essence of the subject and reflect the attitude and emotion she was feeling at that moment. So then you should allow your subject to be herself. A little girl dressed up in fairy wings for a special picture is very cute. And I suppose there's a place in the world for cute, because there is. I mean, I work in baby photography, so of course there's a place for cute. But contrast with the little girl, contrast this idea of a little girl dressed up in fairy wings with a girl who just loves to dance. You put her in everyday clothes, stand her in front of a plain backdrop, put her on her favorite music, and say to her, "Can you show me how to dance to this song?" You should have no difficulty in capturing timeless expressions there. Now imagine a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy whose true passion in life is sailing. You dress him up in a tailored suit, formally pose him in front of a low-key backdrop, seat in just a random studio chair, and use classic loop lighting. What would be said of this portrait years later? Who is this guy? Is he an executive? But just suppose you photograph this same guy in his favorite t-shirt and blue jeans at the helm of his beloved sailboat on a beautiful late afternoon, just as the boat was coming about. What would be said of this portrait years later? This was Charlie. He was doing what he loved most. It was such a glorious day that day, and he's on his beautiful boat. The point is, from that, is to keep it honest. I love to keep my photos honest. I love to keep my portraits honest. Fantasy can be cute, but your subject, being him or herself, years later will have much more meaningful impact. For example, I have a lot of family portraits, or I do a lot of family portraits, and I do a lot of family portraits outdoors and indoors. And a lot of times during the sessions, there will be time when younger children won't want to necessarily smile. I don't mind having children not smile during a session because that is their true self. Not every child is going to smile. As a matter of fact, when I was a little girl, I was scared to death to be at the photographer. There's a really cute photo of me. I'm not smiling. I'm actually terrified of the photographer. I was hiding behind a chair, like halfway. You can see me peeking out from the chair. I was a shy kid to begin with, but to be in front of a film camera at the time, it just terrified me. But my mom loved the photo. It actually hung on our wall because that was me as my true self as a little kid, kind of seeing a window into what I was feeling at that time. So for when I do family photos, I don't use the word smile. I don't say cheese much. I usually only follow cheese if the parents are saying it, but I would prefer that parents didn't, because it puts a lot of pressure on children to do a forced smile that will look forced in the photos. When I'm working with younger kids, I don't jump in front of their face right away with a camera. I tend to sit on the ground with them and learn a little bit about them and see how they interact in a new environment. If they're like, as I call it, stupid happy, where they're just like running around having a good time, you know, the new environment not really bothering them, they're just laughing and having a good time, I can tell I'm going to get smiles. And we definitely don't need to say smile because the child will smile. If the child is a little bit more subdued and a little bit more cautious about what's going on, I learn the rapport of the child very fast before the session and understand, you know, there's going to be pressure if you say to smile. So we're going to be getting the genuine emotions of the child during the session. So allow your subject's expression to be honest. A frown or a grimace that is genuinely felt can be more interesting than a smile that is forced. I try never to just pose my subject and say, okay, smile for me, as I was just saying. If you want your subject to smile, then it's on the photographer many times to get them to smile. But it has to be one of those real smiles, not the toothy, grinny, like, you can tell when a kid is faking a smile, and you're going to be able to tell it, or even a parent. I can definitely tell when a parent or an adult is faking a smile, because you can just tell, and they'll be able to tell in the photos too. So if you want your subject to smile, then you need to tell a joke, or put on a face, or maybe just smiling at your subject and she's going to smile back at you. People generally tend to reflect in their face what they see in yours, but in my experience, that's not always the case. Nevertheless, interaction with your subject is the key. That being said, the next time you have a difficult subject, ask him or her to tell you a joke to bring out that smile, if that's the expression that you're after. If you're a professional, you know that smiles sell. But if you're an amateur, you're under no pressure to sell, so make your portraits interesting. Not everything in the world is to smile about. Direct your portraits. Take control of the composition of your portraits. Don't be afraid to tell or show your subject what you want. Sometimes showing is best. I often find that actually demonstrating a pose I have in mind works better than trying to direct my subjects through words. Sometimes you see, in my situation, you'll see a pose in your head, and trying to actually verbalize what that looks like is rather difficult. Some of the poses are, you know, especially for like maternity poses, some of those poses are quite difficult to actually verbalize what you're trying to say to have the subject do. And you have to remember that subjects, in this case it would be pregnant mothers, don't necessarily know what all the poses, and probably, you know, haven't really seen a lot of the poses unless they were doing research on Pinterest or something for poses for their own shoot. So you have to keep in mind that a lot of the subjects that you're going to be posing don't have the prior knowledge of different poses that you would want to put them in. I also, before this session, will ask people if they're comfortable if I help pose them. I always ask, I always get their permission, especially if I'm going to be moving hands, or if I'm going to be moving shoulders, or, you know, if I'm going to be pushing their body into place to get them into a pose, I always, always, always ask the subject. And if it's a child, I ask the parents. If it's, you know, I will, no matter what, before I'm posing people, if I'm touching them, I will ask for their permission. I don't assume that anybody will be okay with me touching them, and I don't assume that as a photographer that is my right to be touching people. You have to ask permission. At least that's what I feel, is you have to ask permission. And especially if there's children, just don't assume that any child will be okay with you just going in there and moving their feet. As a child, when I was a young child, I didn't like people touching me. So I would definitely ask the parents if it's okay to do this, and then I would ask the child if it's okay. If you are photographing a group, your life will be a lot easier if you arrange and pose the adults first, then work your way from the oldest or most mature and settled child to the youngest of children. So that's always something to keep in mind, is the adults are the easiest to pose, usually. They're the easiest to pose, and then you can work with younger children to get them to pose. The one thing that you have to keep in mind, though, is younger children will break the pose the fastest. So it would be best to make sure to observe the child's behavior prior to the session to see if they would have the patience to hold the pose, or maybe you have to pose them first with the parent. It's all about learning your subject. The point to remember is, as the photographer, you should take charge of the shot. The success or failure of the portrait will be your responsibility, so take charge. Engage your subject to establish and build rapport with her, to take your photos to the next and higher level. Make your portraits more meaningful by keeping them honest and natural. We all know a fantasy photo can be cute, and formally posed portrait can be graceful and dignified if that is your subject's personality. But a portrait that is true to the subject is always more meaningful. Allow your subject to be yourself and never force an expression. Learn to take charge and direct your portraits, and you will move far ahead in your journey as a photographer. Practice your people skills with each portrait you take. People skills are a prerequisite to all else if you want to take great portraits. Thank you for joining me on the Savvy Shutterbug podcast with your host, Jillian Mansfeld. As always, you can head over to SavvyShutterbug.com or JillianMansfeldPhotography.com and sign up to our email list, as well as check out the links and resources in the show notes. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.